Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about faith this month and how vitally important it is as far as the Christian life is concerned. The proposition has always been by grace through faith in Jesus. That's how we're saved, by grace through faith in Jesus. That's how we live the Christian life, by grace through faith in Jesus. Today, I want to share what I think is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, and the writer says this, "For we also have had the gospel preached to us." So he was talking to his Jewish brethren back in the day, saying, "We've heard the good news about Jesus. It's been preached to us, just as they did." And he was referring back to the people of the Exodus. They had had good news preached to them. But he says this, "But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith." There are so many people out in the world today who have heard the message concerning Christ, but it's of no value to them because they are not combining it with faith. They've heard the grace part of it. They've heard that God sent Jesus, that Jesus became one of us. He took upon himself our sins. He bore those sins in his body. He was crucified, dead, and buried. And then on the third day, he was raised back to life. They hear the good news of Jesus. That is the message that has been preached to them. Yet it is of no value because they do not combine it with faith. They try to approach God through their own set of rules and regulations, their own dead works, maybe their own intellect, maybe power, maybe prestige, maybe money. Maybe those are the things that are of importance to them, not the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. So it's simply a matter of taking God at his word. When he says that through Christ our sins have been forgiven, we should take him at his word and rest in the fact that our sins have been forgiven once and for all. God's word says that we have been declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. If the word of God says that, we should take the word for what it says and rest in the fact that we have been declared righteous in God's sight. That's what faith is. It's simply taking God at his word, right, believing to be true what he says is actually true. Those folks back in the wilderness who wandered in the desert for 40 years, that message was of no value to them because they did not combine it with faith. And you know, guys, an interesting aspect of that story, I don't know how many millions came out of Egypt, crossed through the Red Sea, but of that generation that crossed through the Red Sea, only two entered into the Promised Land. Not even Moses entered into the Promised Land, only Joshua and Caleb. A whole new generation was birthed and raised up, and it was this new generation that went in who actually believed the message. And to them, the message was of value. But those who died in the wilderness, the message was of no value, and that's the reason they died. Yeah. They did not take God at its word. What is faith? Simply taking God at his word.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and we thank you for joining us today. Plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. As I said earlier, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, this is a great opportunity for you to call right now and get straight through. One more time, the number, 844-322-2742. Guys, Angela wrote to us with a very, very interesting question. A troubling question to some, I'm sure. With so many different Christian churches and their various differences regarding how they interpret Scripture, can I be assured that as long as I have repented of my past sins, faithfully accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, have been full immersion baptized, and try every day to become more like Jesus, that my salvation and entrance into God's kingdom is secure, regardless of what church I belong to? I am worried that certain different beliefs and practices might nullify an individual's salvation. That's from Angela, who wrote to us.
Well, there's nothing that can nullify a person's salvation. The work of Jesus Christ guarantees that once we're saved completely. There's no turning back. We believe, that's our part. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. So we hear the message concerning Christ. We hear about his death. We hear about his burial. We hear about his resurrection. And we respond to that by faith. And when we do, we are saved. Paul put it this way, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And when that takes place, salvation takes place. So that's our story. That's our side of the equation. But there's a God side of this equation. When he saves us, he moves us from death to life. That's what our spiritual condition was apart from Jesus. We were dead spiritually. And through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we cross over from death to life. We are justified. We are declared righteous in God's sight. Again, that is a free gift of grace. He justifies us freely by his grace. He declares us righteous in his sight. He gives us a new identity. We have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have a new heart. He circumcised that old heart and given us a new heart. And then he sent his Spirit to take up residence inside of us. So we're permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God. So that is God's work on our behalf in Christ Jesus. So if we're going to lose salvation, God would have to reverse everything he's done to save us. Well, he's already promised that he's never going to do that. Once he sent his Spirit to live inside of us, he has sealed us, and that is a permanent, forever, eternal transaction. We will never go back to being dead spiritually, to being lost, to being sinners. We are alive, we're declared righteous, we're children of God, Christ lives in us. Yeah. So that is secure based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, whether we go to Church A, Church B, or Church C does not negate the work of Christ on our behalf, nor does it enhance the work of Christ on our behalf. When we go to a church, we want to go to a place where the gospel, where Jesus Christ is being lifted up, where we can be encouraged, and where we can encourage others in their walk with Jesus Christ. Yeah. So we have to look, as far as our assurance of salvation is concerned, to the finished work of Jesus. It's when we look there that we're going to have ultimate security.
Absolutely. Well, from what Angela wrote, it seems that she has been taught, or at least heard, that she's going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting as far as ensuring the ongoing salvation. So, you know, that's a sure formula for burnout. And, you know, friends, I would like to tell Angela, along with you, that if you're feeling tired and worn out, we want to help you experience true rest by sending you a copy of Richard Piper's CD message, The High Cost of Legalism. In the CD, it shows you why lasting spiritual refreshment can only be found when you stop relying on yourself and start depending on Jesus Christ. It's our gift to thank you for your donation today. So to give and request your copy of Richard's CD, The High Cost of Legalism, call 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742. And thank you for helping more hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, the lines again are wide open, 844-322-2742. We would love for you to pose your question on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and again, we thank you for joining us. Question from Glenn, who writes to us, listens actually on KFIA, our great Sacramento station. In the Revelation, in Revelation 22:16, Jesus tells John that he is the root and the offspring of David. Is this referring to the genealogy of Jesus? If it is, how is he manifested as the root of David? That's from Glenn, who writes to us from Sacramento.
It's an interesting question, isn't
it,
Richard, as far as his human identity. You know, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary, you know, offered up her womb, gave birth to Jesus. And when you look at her genealogy and you look at Joseph's genealogy, both go back to David. So from that particular perspective, he is the rightful heir to the throne of David.
Yes.
He is of the tribe of Judah. But we all know that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that his origin is from above. Well, that gives him the rightful perspective as well. I mean, he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is the one that is going to sit on the throne of David eternally.
Yes.
So the nation of Israel and the throne of David was merely a shadow. It wasn't the reality. That reality was going to come to fruition in Jesus. He conquered sin and death once and for all. He conquered our enemies, our bitter enemies. He made a mockery of them, a public disgrace of them. He came out of that tomb. He reigns victoriously. In him we are more than conquerors. So he has the rightful place. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So he has the rightful place, both from his heavenly birth and his human genealogy. Richard, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, the fact that Jesus is God and was the Word through whom this world was created makes him the root of everything. And the beauty of his promise to Abraham is that promise was so carefully managed by God himself to bring Jesus into the world. So Jesus, God, the Spirit, the whole Godhead, defined it, brought it about, accomplished it, and now blesses us with it. David was a joyful cog in that wonderful wheel.
Yes.
He loved what God did through him.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, when you look at the promise God gave to Abraham, mm-hmm. you know, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And yet when Jesus arrived on the scene, because he was that seed,
yes.
he was the promised, the child of promise. But when he appeared on the scene to the Pharisees, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am. He pre-existed.
Yes.
And so when he gathered his disciples before the death, burial, and resurrection, he gave that illustration of the vine and the branch. Mm-hmm. I am the vine, you are branches. He really is the source of life, and we can
yes.
trust him in that regard.
Absolutely. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Abbott, Texas, and talk with Carl. Hi, Carl. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello.
You are on the air, my friend.
Well, my question is about the Trinity. I understand the angels are created beings, but is the Holy Spirit and Jesus a created being created by God's Father?
Absolutely not, Carl. They are a part of the Godhead. So God is one, yet manifested in three persons. So just as I was saying previously, when Jesus had that conversation with the Pharisees and he said to them, "Before Abraham, I am," what was he saying to them? That he pre-existed, that he was before anything else. In the beginning was God. God created. The Apostle John picks up on that theme, and he says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh." So Jesus was with God in the beginning. He was God in the beginning. We see in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit hovering over the earth. So throughout the Word of God, we see this Godhead, this singular Godhead, yet manifested in three distinct persons. So they were all in the beginning, all have the attributes of deity, pre-existed, everything else. They have always been and always will be.
Okay, well, that reinforces what I thought. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Carl. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, again, we have plenty of time on the clock and plenty of open lines. That number, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to South Texas and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Thorndale.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Doing fine. How are you today?
Doing good. Jeannie and I moved from Hutto and moved out to a little town east of there called Thorndale. So I guess now I'm a member of the Body of Christ at Thorndale. So,
there you go.
I know that's awkward.
Well, we'll write you a letter or something. All the saints in Thorndale.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get Richard's tape. I'm going to send a donation where I can get that. What do you call them these days? They're not tapes, DVDs.
CD.
CD.
Yeah, CD, yeah, okay. Hey, on that Hebrews 4, and why do I believe this? And I think I can show it in Scripture. But it says they couldn't enter in because of lack of faith, okay? And y'all were talking about unto Abraham's seed, okay? And when he told Abraham to circumcise his whole house and everything, when they left Egypt for 40 years, there's no mention of any circumcision taking place in the natural. And then the second they cross over the Jordan to Gilgal, that says that they recircumcised, you know what I'm saying? And I'm wondering if that lack of faith is because there was a lack of the shedding of the shadow of blood in the wilderness and carrying on the Abrahamic covenant in the wilderness. And one more thing. Didn't everybody that was under the age of 19 that left Egypt that crossed the Red Sea going to the Promised Land? And I think I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, Clay, thanks for your call, and congratulations on your move to Thorndale, and hope you enjoy life there. But excellent question today. So, Richard, let's talk a little bit about that. So let's talk a little bit about circumcision. When did that get instituted? Who was the first to be circumcised? Was that something that had to be done to be recognized as a person of God, or was that something that followed God's declaration? How is it carried out with the people of Israel? Was it important then? What did it point to as far as reality today?
I'll try and simplify it. Circumcision was a mark of identity. People who were circumcised belonged to the children of Israel because no one around them was that way. No other male of any other tribe or people group in those days was circumcised. And God set it up as a sign of this covenant that he had entered into, and that identified them as his children. The real issue with Israel in the wilderness was not the lack of circumcision, although that was a problem. The real issue was when they got to the Promised Land, they resolutely refused to go in. God said, go, and they said, no. And he said, all right, go back into the wilderness, and this whole generation, we're going to wander until they're all dead. So that was the lack of faith. That was the one action that demonstrated their lack of faith, was their refusal to go into what he had given them.
They did not combine the message with faith.
Absolutely not.
He said, go in. They said, no. They wandered in the desert.
Yes. And so today, the sign of identification that we belong to God is the indwelling Holy Spirit. That is the result of Jesus' complete victories over sin and death. Before he was victorious over sin, we could not have that relationship with God. Now that he's been victorious over sin and victorious over death, then the Holy Spirit can make us alive again together with Christ, and now we are in relationship with Jesus. And so we don't have to have a physical mark. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit himself.
And all throughout the scripture, Old and New Testament alike, the writers talk about the fact that circumcision, really true circumcision, is of the heart.
Yes.
It's internal. It's not an external thing. That was just a shadow of the reality that we would experience through faith in Jesus. One of my favorite verses, it's obscure, it's Deuteronomy 36, where Moses said that there's going to come a time when God would circumcise the heart so that the people could love God and love others. So here was this rule. The law was summed up in these two commands, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we're to love others as ourselves. Well, that's an impossibility because our hearts don't lead us there. Our unregenerate hearts don't lead us in that direction. We're selfish. We rebel against God. We want to do it our way, not his way. So for us to come in alignment with all that God has for us, all the blessings that God has for us, we needed a circumcision of the heart. Well, that's what happened through faith in Jesus. We who were dead spiritually in the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made alive. He forgave all of our sins. He circumcised. He cut away that unbelieving heart and made it into a believing heart so that we could love God. How do we do that? Walking by faith, taking God at his word. That's what it means to love God, to really trust him, to abide in him, to really take his word seriously. Not in the sense that if I don't take it seriously, he's gonna punish me or jack me up or something like that. But the fact that this is for our benefit, this is for our good. And so when we realize that, take God at his word, that's what it means to truly love God. And when we do, that enables us to love others. That's why circumcision of the heart is so vitally important.
Yeah, it's good to hear from Clay, and great question.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Pam, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Pam. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. I have a question about my brother. He is an agoraphobic, has a lot of phobias. He's legally blind, and he suffers from some trauma from abuse when he was a child. And he's a believer in Jesus Christ, but because of his agoraphobia and such, he doesn't always get to go to church because of the panic attacks. This has been going on for like 40 years. And the other day somebody made fun of him and he got so depressed. And I try to talk to him and sometimes I just don't know. You know, I think we're supposed to have victorious living and be overcomers. And I don't know if my expectations are too strong or what. I really don't know how to talk to him anymore. He depends on me a lot.
Yeah.
I'll hang up and listen to you, okay?
Okay, Pam. I certainly appreciate your call, and it's a wonderful question. And certainly we have dealt with people that have suffered from agoraphobia in the past. That is such a devastating reality for people. I mean, they just lock themselves up in a very small area, and anything outside of that just brings about all sorts of panic attacks, all sorts of fears. And here's what I have discovered as far as agoraphobia is concerned. It's a misplaced identity. We're fearful that folks are going to find out exactly who we are. And so instead of taking God at his word and believing that we truly are children of God, we are holding on to something that has happened to us in the past. And it's usually a very devastating thing that has happened and makes us see ourselves in a very unworthy light. And so we can memorize a million scriptures, and yet they have little value to us because we're holding on to this old identity. And when people get close to finding out what our real identity is, or what we think our real identity is, that's when we shut down. That's when agoraphobics shut down. That's when those panic attacks come. So at some point, you have to lay that out there. And then when you do, you're going to realize that there was nothing to fear all along, that God's truth was sufficient to carry you through that and to give you a new identity. We've seen some incredible things happen as a result. So it's a matter of identity. Keep giving truth. Let truth do its work.
Absolutely. Well, Clay mentioned Richard's excellent new CD, The High Cost of Legalism. And friends, if you're feeling tired and worn out, we want you to experience true rest by sending you a copy of this new CD, The High Cost of Legalism. In it, Richard shows why lasting spiritual refreshment can only be found when you stop relying on yourself and start depending on Jesus Christ. It's our gift to thank you for your donation today. To give and request your copy of Richard's CD, The High Cost of Legalism, call 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742. And thank you for helping more people hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad you were with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.